the future.
There are no people.
There are no people in the future.
No people at all.
There are no people in the future.
Where did all my people go?
There are no people in the future.
Let me try my people call.
Everybody, welcome, welcome. This is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken, and it is Friday, August 19th. It's not Friday, though, is it? No, it's Thursday, August 19th, 2021. That's right, we're coming to you a day early for a special, quick session this morning. Welcome to Raging Chicken's Out to Coop podcast. This is Kevin Mahoney, as I said, editor and founder of Raging Chicken, and each week I talk to that motherload of middle-aged millennial angst, Sean Kitchen, about the good, the bad, and the ugly in state and national politics. Yep, we are streaming live to our YouTube channel, so don't forget to smash that subscribe button, like the stream, and hit the bell so you know every time that we go live. We got a bunch of kind of scheduling stuff that's been going on, so I'm sorry for, if you listen to the show on Monday or if you listen to the special Wednesday show with Cyril yesterday, you know that we were kind of coming on the show today instead of Friday. I had some conflicts. I've got an electrician coming to the house, so that's the reason why we're, coming to you a day early. So today's show is going to be a little bit freewheeling. Sean and I, Sean really wanted to kind of talk about what's going on in Afghanistan, as did I. We are, probably got some other things we got on our mind too as well. We were just talking before the show, for example. Last week was so kind of chaotic and in so many different ways. What was going on in the world, what's going on in our lives and kind of here. Like that, we didn't even talk about on the show that Richard Trumka died. I mean, we were talking about that and like, holy crap. And we didn't even mention the fact that Cuomo resigned, right? So that's kind of the week it was. So that's, I got some bad karma coming from that stuff, that's for sure. So we're going to kind of get into it. We're going to talk a little about Afghanistan. We're going to talk about some other things maybe that's going on in our lives. I'll let you know a little bit about some upcoming shows. I've got a special edition, which is going to be called something along the lines of Kutztown University, Caring Community, ? Right? About some stories of what's happening to some faculty and staff members at the university. But I'll get into that. You'll see that pop up. I'm probably going to do that tomorrow morning. Anyway, so we'll talk about Afghanistan, a bunch of other stuff, but we'll get right into it. Sean's got a hard out today. Want to remind you to tune into the Rick Smith Show on Free Speech TV this and every Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern to stream the show live at freespeech.org and tune in to Dish Network, DirecTV, or through the Free Speech TV app on Roku. And make sure you subscribe to Rick's daily podcast on iTunes, Podbean, wherever you get your podcast. And Rick's also got his new show on WBAI in New York, which runs, I see it's 6 to 8 on Saturdays. But so it makes me think I got to go back and look at my timing about when his show airs. Maybe he pre-tapes his stuff from Free Speech. I'm not sure. But that show in WBAI in New York is going like crazy. It's been fantastic. So congratulations to Rick. And you actually have to check out, if you have not already, the Sisters of the Night Caucus podcast. You can find it on Anchor, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast. You head on over there. Make sure you let them know that Raging Chicken sent you. The first episode was fantastic, and every episode after that has been fantastic. And look, the amazing PA women stirring the political cauldron behind that podcast rock the house, and they know where the bodies are buried. Yes, indeed. Make sure to follow them on Twitter and at the Night Caucus. That's at the Night Caucus on Twitter. And attention gamers, The Game Inn is a Quakertown-based black family-owned gaming store. They're friend of the show and got everything from retro N64s, latest consoles, video games for all platforms, loads of collectibles, action figures, Funko Pops, you name it. And look, school is starting, everybody. And you know what? You kids get A's? Head on over to The Game Inn because with every A on their report card, those kids get a discount on their purchases. Want to check them out, to check The Game Inn, that's with two N's, The Game Inn. Check them out on their Facebook page, follow them on Twitter at The Game Inn, again with two N's. Looking for something special, can't find something that's hard to get, shoot them an email at thegameinnpa@gmail.com and let them know that Raging Chicken sent you. And a And a special shout out goes to Jonathan Mann, who wrote our intro song, There Are No People in the Future. Check out all his great stuff on his YouTube page and follow him on Twitter at @songadayman. That's with two N's, and @songadayman on Twitter. Just want to do a programming note. We've got a great show coming up on Monday for Out the Coop Live. And Out the Coop Live, we're kind of moving away from Bucks County and some of the school board races that we've been focusing on lately. And we're going to take a closer look at what's going on in Afghanistan. We've got Benjamin Tupper is going to be on the show. Ben is a author of the book Greetings from Afghanistan, Send More Ammo, Dispatches from Taliban Country. He completed three tours of duty in Afghanistan. And, you know, and in full disclosure, Ben's an old friend of mine. We went to college together. We did a lot of Central American solidarity work, build shanty towns on the quad of Syracuse University, that kind of stuff. He was an NPR commentator from Afghanistan, and his dispatches that aired on NPR were phenomenal. And Ben's a great, great storyteller, and his experience, I think, is going to be one that you're going to appreciate in the midst of all this kind of media coverage that we're going to get in. So again, that is Monday, August 23rd at 7 p.m. It's on Out the Coop Live with Ben Tupper, author of the book Greetings from Afghanistan, Send More Ammo. I want to thank you for everyone who goes out and support us. And I've been really giving a shout out to some of the folks who are just kind of sharing our stuff out like crazy. It's been fantastic. We can see it on our end, right? Especially we had a great interview on Monday with school board candidates of the Pembridge School District, Adrian King and David O'Donnell. And that's kind of like, boom, that's exploded. Thank you so much for everyone for sharing it out. And because look, that's what it's going to take. It's going to take people kind of sharing a material, building out this network, right? And because look, if we want a progressive future, we need progressive media. Support Pull No Punches, homegrown progressive media today by becoming a patron of Raging Chicken for as little as $5 a month. Just go to patreon.com/rcpress. We've got rid of Trump. Yes, that's true. But look, now we've got the hard work of building a progressive future. And like, you know, the right wing is not sitting still, folks. They are not. We're here for that fight. But we need you. Become a patron for the price of a good beer once a month. Help keep the media and the movement and the media. Become a patron for as little as $5 a month by going to patreon.com/rcpress today. So Sean, man, I'm so glad you were able to hop on today. And I'm sorry for the kind of late notice about having to switch things around. But, you know, here we are, right? In the midst of what is a crazy week. I don't know about you, but I was up late last night, so I'm a little tired because of the freaking tornado warnings. Oh, you're muted.
Sorry, I didn't want to. It seemed like that there was a tornado that touched down in Satterton last night.
Yeah.
Right down the street from you, pretty much.
Yes, indeed.
Like, a few minutes away. So I mean, the storm started out here in Harrisburg. It got pitch black out here, but it rained for about 20 minutes, but it wasn't that bad. Some of the storms we've gotten this year have been like deluges that have just been clogging the gutters, like with all the stuff coming off. So
yep.
It's just been like, my landlord's been out a couple times clearing stuff out all over the place. So
yeah, it's been pretty crazy. I think there. I don't know. I got some friends up in the Bethlehem area, who basically said that there was actually a tornado coming that started coming down, but apparently did not touch down. But they're still looking for confirmation on that. So it's pretty crazy. So far we've had one in New Hope, we had one in Bensalem, and we've got now Souderton, potentially Bethlehem. I feel like they close it in on me, man. Like this is like the new tornado alley of freaking Pennsylvania. So
I mean it's the new normal now.
Yes.
I mean like it's I think like I was reading on the news reports, like 10 tornadoes were confirmed.
Yeah.
With that batch like a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
Back at the end of July. But I mean, welcome. This is the climate normal we're seeing.
Yeah, I have to say, I wish I had the tweet up, but someone, it was nice to see somebody that's a little darker on this stuff than me, even me, you know, when I kind of responding, I think, to something that you had said, right? Your tornado, when you posted stuff up the tornado warning, and I said, yep, there's welcome to our, like, new norm or whatever, and this someone jumps on and says, oh, no, it's going to get worse. I'm like, someone after my own heart.
Yeah, no, that's exactly how I feel. But, man, I want to talk about what happened in Afghanistan this week. and how Joe Biden came out and said, fuck the blob. Like, the one thing that's just been, I don't know what your thoughts are, but my thoughts, like, watching the media meltdown about this has just been, like, pathetic. Like it's amazing to watch.
Yeah.
But, like, this is what we're fucking, like, freaking out over on the media, like, nonstop. And it's just, like, the disconnect about this. And, like, the only sane, rational voice of reason that came out of this all weekend was Nicole Wallace saying, like, 95% of Americans are going to agree with Joe Biden's speech.
That's the world. I swear to God. I mean, I agree, right? I mean, like, when Nicole Wallace was like the voice of reason in the midst of all that. Look. I know she's a Republican operative. She's a Bush. She's a Bush thing. But
she lied for Bush for years. Like,
absolutely. But I have to say, I mean,
I had a shoe thrown at her.
Well, she did, right? I have always I do respect her perspective and her analysis. Right. She is unlike a lot of, say, you know, the Republican commentators on the right. You know, and she's like a moderate Republican, I would say, although an imperialist, apparently. But she doesn't necessarily carry the ideological water of the current Republican Party. And she's been fairly fair minded, you know, in terms of how she's approached things. Having said that, I, you know, disagree quite frequently with kind of what she's saying, but when she said that, there was like this moment of like, yeah, this is what it looks like to actually have a sane conversation about something in the world.
I mean, it's also at least like MSNBC isn't like partaking in like the Trump shit shining tour with stuff like that. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
well, it's really, look,
you can't, but like, I mean, but you had that stuff happening after Bush, the shit shining tour Bush went on. Or his people went on to like shit shine his legacy. Like,
right.
You just can't do that with Trump. I just you know what I mean?
Yep.
Especially like with the liberal side of things, like, or moderate side with CNN. But like watching the fallout about this. Like, did you watch Sam Seder yesterday, the guy with the Tajikistan question?
I missed the question. No, I listened to the interview.
This guy is just like working himself up, like asking this question. He had like this very like contemporary like art type mask on. And it's just like this fucking reporter is just like, they're on the board. And the guy's like, yeah, frankly, like our American mission in Afghanistan is not to have people on the border of Tajikistan or on the border of so-and-so. Like, just like, and you could just see like the gasp in the room, them just like, fuck you people. Like, but no, I mean, like, it's just like, I mean, it's pretty much what Biden said to everyone who was upset about this. Like, the freakout's coming from the people on TV mostly, like, and it's just like it was like a pointless like exercise in futility for 20 years that got us nothing.
Right. Like, I think, look, this is my angle on things, right? This is why I want to have Ben on the show on Monday, because I just really appreciate his perspective on reading this stuff, because I started watching the media coverage of what was going on, and it was just, I had to get away from it, because it was just people churning through like hot takes, basically. I mean, like hot takes to kind of get views. That's what it felt like. Right. So we're going to, oh, Biden did this, or no, it was like Trump. It's like, but that's, look, we're reckoning with like empire here. Right. I mean, we're having to really grapple with what this all means, and what's been hard for me in the midst of all this. Like, I mean, who cares how it's hard for me? I mean, just people are freaking dying all over the place. But on the one hand, it's like, you know, Spencer Ackerman was on Majority Report yesterday, right? And he's got a great Substack called Forever Wars, and his read on a lot of things I think was really good about pulling this thread of this 20-year war in Afghanistan and connecting it up with, you know, what brought us Trump and this kind of rise of white supremacy and this anti-immigration stuff and the post 9/11. Kind of like context,
and like maybe we need to scale down empire and go into more of isolationism. And I don't mean like isolationism like in a negative connotation that like that word can bring at times, but like no, we have to start like ramping down Empire and not being a police officer of the world. Like, you know, a lot of the arguments coming out from this was like, well, how can you support pulling out of Afghanistan when all these rights are going to be lost with women and like all this stuff? And it's like, that wasn't our objective. Like our objective, like we went over there, became like an objection or an issue to like force democracy down people's throats with a barrel gun, where like that's not like their, that's not their culture. It's never been their culture.
Well, I don't buy the culture arguments at all, right? I mean, I don't. And I think that, you know, and
what do you mean by that?
Like what I mean by that is I don't believe that it's like, well, okay, you know, the democracy is just not in their blood, right? And I think that, you know, we could, there's been, like any place in the world, it's contradictory, right?
I don't believe in like the framing that, like, they didn't want to fight for their country. Like there's a sense of nationalism or nationalist pride that we're shaming them, like not just like with Biden, but it just seems like the a lot of the people are placing the blame on like they didn't have the pride to stand up, and it's just like
I find that disgusting.
Like I find that stuff like,
I mean,
disgusting.
It's like, because this is like, here's where
the signs of this war for the past 15 years were pointing to this exact moment.
There's no other way. Here's the thing is, I don't think that there's, you know, at some point you got to rip the Band-Aid off and you just got to bite the bullet. This is what I appreciate what Biden did by saying, okay, no, look, there's no winning this war. Like there's no one. I mean, no empire has ever ruled over Afghanistan. Right. I mean, never. Right. They try. Right. And we can go back, you know, like,
hundreds of years,
hundreds and hundreds of years, right? And it doesn't work, right? And so in that sense, there's a tradition of this kind of resistance to kind of like imperial power, right? But I, on the other side of it, it's like, look, you see what is already happening to women in that country, right? You know, and I don't think it's like culturally, like the women enjoy subjugation.
Oh, no.
You know what
like,
I'm saying?
I'm not talking about like those cultural issues like that. Like, I think obviously that stuff's repugnant, but like the, like, I'm not going to, this is like, I don't see like the point in like exporting democracy.
Well,
like, and exporting democracy to the world, in parts of the world that like, we're going to have to spend billions of dollars in nation building.
Well, let's be
like
clear, though. We were never, like, the U.S. was never exporting democracy. It was extending its imperial reach.
Yeah, and the same thing in Iraq.
It's the same freaking thing.
Yeah.
Right?
But, like, I mean, that was the frames that we were using. We're spreading democracy.
Totally.
To the world.
Right, but here's where I want to be clear. This is, again, why I want to have Ben on the show on Monday, too, as well, is that my own thinking is really contradictory and fraught right now on what's going on here, but my gut right now is saying like this: yes, the U.S. had to get out, right? Because it was only, I mean, the amount of people that we have killed, right, to do this. And at the same time, we also have to recognize that 20 years of presence and billions, what is it, over $1 trillion, or like, not more than that, like, funneled into there to build up these kind of infrastructure. People have built their lives around that now, and that's gone. So, and I'm not just talking about like, you know, the Afghan interpreters, so we need to get them out. Yeah, I understand that part too as well. That's absolutely critical. But also those people whose lives have now been built up around this particular presence, right? This has been true of any kind of empire. And now we're gone. That's all gone, right? And now you have like women who had some degree of protection in some areas of the country. That's gone. And for the United States to walk away and just be like, oopsie, right, without having to pay its debts is really problematic to me.
Oh yeah, I mean, like, we did drop the bag.
Well, I mean, it's like I look at this and I'm like, okay, this is where, look, in my perfect world at this point, there needs to be an independent party, which the United States has to like dump tons of money and resources into, and that other party administers this to make sure that they kind of fix what was wrong. because that's the flip side of this, right? I mean, we fundamentally like altered a country for 20 years, and now we don't have to pay our debts. It reminds me of what this country, how this country deals with its own history. We had hundreds of years of slavery. Oopsie. Right. Let's move on. I mean, it's kind of messed up.
Yeah. No, I mean, it definitely is, like, from that perspective. Like, it's no, I mean, but like, was there ever an easy way of like leaving this? Like, do you believe the Biden line of like, we had to have been out of here because of the deal that Trump signed? Like, there was just no way around that. But do you think like they botched leaving people, or like, do you think like other things were happening where they didn't know? Like, do you think the military was lying to them about like the capabilities of the Afghan army, and or just like they? I mean,
I don't know. I honestly don't know. You got these military leaders that are coming forward.
I mean, also these people have been paying people off. Like, the Taliban's been paying people off ever since, like, they signed a deal with Trump,
exactly,
with other like warlords. So like, I mean, like, this was not a surprise.
Well, you know, it's like there's a whole bunch of questions, right? There's like, you know, and kind of the national security sphere, right? You know, there's the question over like, well, you know, I guess it would, the way that it would get framed in the media, I was like, was this a breakdown of intelligence? Right. You know, like, you know, did they not know? Was it bad intelligence? So, I mean, that's a possibility, right? It could be just, you know, there was reporting this week too, as well. If you started buying stock in those companies that went into Afghanistan at the beginning of this conflict, right. You know, your $1,000 would be about $100,000 now. Right. I mean, so there's some real material interests that were certainly.
And also, like, yeah, I mean, I got a couple other things I could say about this. I mean, just big waste of fucking money. Like, very few people got rich off of this. We spent trillions of dollars in the Middle East when, you know, like, this notion when Democrats tell us we can't pay for things. No, we can't. Like,
we just did for 20 years, billions of dollars. I mean, like, seriously,
trillions of dollars,
trillions.
Like, it's just, yeah. Like, so there's one other thing I saw, bunch of things I saw. So I want to read this. I want to read these policy points to you. And when I'm done, you have to guess, is it the GOP or the Taliban?
A game.
So, point one, abortion is banned. Gay marriage is outlawed. Rejection of science. No vaccines. It's against their religion. No separation of church and state. Religion taught in schools. These policy platform. Is this the policy platform of the Republican Party for the past 40 years? Or is this the Taliban's platform?
I'm going with choice C, both. All of the above.
I mean, like, obviously we're joking about this, but like, it's the... like, the bad faith arguments, especially about, like, oh, the women, like, the Laura Trump-isms that are happening this week, of, like, are coming from Republicans who have no problem exercising, like, legislating the female body with their pens. Like, these are people who will, they're doing all of this. They're just not doing it through, like, a violent means. They're doing it through a socially acceptable means.
Well, no, I wouldn't even say, I would say it's violent, right? But I would say, I'd say they're making it legal. This is the point that, like, I think that what Spencer Ackerman, his discussion with Sam Cedar was really good about kind of laying out, and Sam Cedar kind of building on this too as well, is that what we've seen is a gradual kind of like making normal through the kind of legal means, you know, say the war on terror, the post 9/11 kind of security state. Right. So, you know, there was that discussion in their interview, we're basically saying that, look, George Bush started the, you know, the drone campaign, which was kind of indiscriminately killing civilians. Right. We saw these civilians that were getting kind of slaughtered by the drone campaign. And when Obama, like, started up, right, you know, he didn't say, like, we need to end that. Right. The perspective was like, oh, in the right hands, right, this would be okay. So the right hand, we just need to use it more smartly. And so they codified it within the legal system under the Obama administration. So you have this kind of moving forward of this kind of security state and the moving forward of this kind of drone campaign, which, and then you just had these legal justifications. So it has the appearance of being above board when really it's the same thing, right? If anything, the drone campaign was expanded under Obama.
Oh yeah.
Right. And so we, I think we see the same kind of stuff here when we were talking about what's the difference between what we see with the Taliban or the American Taliban, i.e. the GOP, right, is like, well, here they're trying to do it through the kind of the mechanisms of the state to make it appear legal. Right. And so that's why we see all the voting restrictions. That's why we see the kind of the rollback of kind of women's health care protections and the rollback of Roe v. Wade protections and access to abortion. Right. They're making it appear as if it's just part of the legislative process when the end game is the same. It's disturbing to me.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, and then you had the fun videos that came out this week of all of the Taliban members going on bumper cars with their AK-47s. The one in the weight room, like, seeing that, like, the opulence of those, like Maddo was talking about this week, the palaces that popped up out of nowhere, those palatial estates in the middle of Kabul. Yep. During this.
Yep.
Like, it is like the opulence of these places, like these narco mansions and shit like that. Like that, like contractors and journalists stayed at. It's just all that fucking money, $88 billion went somewhere. Like, I mean, just handing out bags of fucking money to people. Like,
I mean, that's it. I mean,
I'm sure like Ben has seen that stuff. Like,
well, yeah. I mean, you know, I've read a few, like, you know, a few say books or longer pieces of just, you know, say journalists or kind of, you know, from soldiers or veterans who've kind of gone through this, and you have their description of things on, like, things on the ground. And, you know, one of the things that's always come away from me is, you know, you think about a little bit of bigger picture about how empires work, right? Is that, you know, yes, there's the, you know, the imperial power, and then there's the one that the subjugated nation, but that's telling us to think in terms of like national identities, right? As if like nations are like individuals, when really what happens on the ground is so much more complex and contradictory. Like, so when you have, just like you're saying, these palatial estates and these kind of like hotels and gilded, you know, I think Matt, I'll call it the Rococo, right? Like gilded buildings and stuff that were kind of springing up all over the place for this money. And then around that, right, you know, you think about people who are selling things. You think about, you know, kind of entertainment, like stuff that's going on. I was reminded of a book that it was always stayed with me from when I was in college by Cynthia Enloe, kind of Bananas, Beaches, and Bases, right? We're talking about, you know, and I'm not saying this is a good thing, but the kind of like hospitality economy and prostitution and all the stuff that kind of is all around there, which impacted that directly, right? So, you know, and you can imagine, like, if you look at because I'm sure, right, that there are these kind of like prostitution hostels, right, that are kind of like are around there too as well. What happens to those women now? Right. I mean, what happens to those people that were kind of, say, making a living of kind of, you know, selling food items on a daily basis to, you know, not just to American soldiers, but to the media infrastructure, to the consultant infrastructure, everything else that was in there, when all that stuff is gone? Right. You know, the cost is so deep in my mind.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. But let's go. I want to go back to you know, some of the stuff that we were talking about in terms of the the media coverage of this. Is that, what was disturbing to me about a lot of the media coverage too as well, was that it felt like a lot of people were trying to stuff this into, it was like a few different boxes, right? Well, stuff it into like you know, the old, like, American interest box, right? Another was trying to stuff it into, like, you know, the blame game, right? And it seems to me that all of those things were just designed for, say, political posturing and not so much of kind of really grappling what was going on. I mean, I don't know what your take is on that.
Yeah. What was that? I'm sorry. What was your question? I got uploading a page real quick.
Never mind.
chasing down a rumor that might be interesting. So
chasing down a rumor. No. I was just talking about your take on what was happened with some of the media coverage. Again, to get us back to that.
I just think the media coverage was out of touch with reality. I mean, like, it's amazing how they'll get upset over us withdrawing and pulling out from a country, you know, on the other side of the globe, but they won't show this type of like anger towards our domestic policies, like, you know, with the welfare state and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And how our failed, like, the homeless issues or like, you know, stuff like that. So, but
it's pretty crazy, man. It's pretty crazy. So we'll see where this goes. I mean, I think there's a, you know, I've been following some of this. I heard this, following. If we talk about what happened with the Biden administration, the one thing that I just really don't understand, and this is, you know, Maddow's been pretty good about covering this stuff, and there's been some other folks are covering it. It's like, you know, you've got a long history of like United States relying upon kind of interpreters on the ground, Afghan interpreters, and not just interpreters, but folks who've helped out on the ground and with always with the promise of getting them out. The one thing that I do not understand is how the Biden administration got caught flat footed on getting those people out. You know, there was, you know, because you got to recognize, right, that at the very least, these are folks that are marked. And there, I don't know if you saw this article in The Intercept too as well, but the Taliban is also was able to kind of appropriate or kind of take over a bunch of biometric data, right, that the U.S. had been gathering, right? And so you have got, you know, databases of all these people who have been working with the U.S. And, you know, now the Taliban knows where they are. Right. And yeah, they're putting on a little bit of a show right now to kind of say, hey, everything's going to be OK, but they're just going to wait till people are gone and then they're going to track these people down. Right. And it seems like, you know, at the most minimal human level, that should have been something that should have been prioritized right from the get go. Mm-hmm. Right? And you had these kind of military organizations that, you know, the veterans and things like this screaming at the top of their lungs that you got to make sure that these folks are OK. And it looks like a whole lot of them are not going to be okay. So that's the kind of stuff that's on us. You know what I mean? Sean's still tracking down his rumor. So
no, I'm good.
Yeah. I mean, you got more stuff on kind of what's going on in Afghanistan. You got other things that kind of on your mind?
No, that's pretty much all I got to say about Afghanistan at this point, I think.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I just want to get your quick takes and some of the stuff that's been going on here in Bucks County and some other things in Pennsylvania. And then we'll kind of combine that with our this week's last call, just to kind of get us out of here. So, because I know Sean's got places to go and rumors to track down. So we'll get on that. All right. So this is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken. We're going to be right back after this quick break. This is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken Press. For the past 7 years, Raging Chicken Press has brought pull no punches, progressive reporting and commentary to the interwebs. Our long-form investigative pieces, stories that no access journalist wants to touch, or rollicking weekly podcasts strive to advance progressive movements and perspectives rooted in the struggles happening across the country or down the street. We've broken national stories and caused our share of discomfort in the halls of power. If we want a progressive future, we need progressive media. And you can help support Pull No Punches, homegrown progressive media today. Become a member of Raging Chicken Press for as little as $5 a month. Simply go to patreon.com/rcpress and choose your membership level. We need to make sure to keep the movement in the media and the media in the movement. Best way you can do that is to become a member of Raging Chicken today
by going to patreon.com/rcpress. Thank you for your energy, your encouragement, and your support. Keep up the fight.
Welcome back. This is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken. We're here for the special Thursday edition of Out the Coop, where it's our weekly politics roundup. And a bunch of scheduling stuff led us to having to kind of do this a day early and shorten the show up a little bit for today. I want to give a shout out to Emily. Emily, hey, she's on the stream. And I wish it was Friday too, Emily. And one of the other things that that she said here as part of our conversation about the money that was going in Afghanistan is, you know, think about how that all that money could have covered Medicare for all and canceled student debt, right? I mean, just think about that, for example.
Nope, we have the money for it. So
yeah, we had the money for it. Sean, I just got to get your take on this stuff because, you know, you've seen what's happened in Bucks County. We talked a little bit about this off air, just about, you know, I don't know what it's okay. This is kind of like the reality check that I need from you, I guess, is because from where I sit, because I live here in this county, suddenly it feels like Bucks County has become like a
it's focal, gone up to 11.
Well, yeah. And it's like this focal point of the kind of, you know, the nut job circus and, you know, the attacks on, the school board explosion. We've been talking about this, about how there's this agenda to go down to the school board level for these right-wing groups. And man, I'm telling you.
I think there's more than enough evidence out there of, big money interests flooding into these school board races. We see dark money groups doing this. We see individual donors doing this. Writing checks to candidates who are supporting QAnon, who attended the insurrection on January 6th, who are just caught up in all these lies and these reopen movements and everything over the past year. And no, I mean, like, you're seeing it's classic 2020 or 2010, like, you know, Tea Party. But now the Tea Party has turned into Proud Boys showing up.
In Exeter parents, Township, right? The Exeter School Board. I mean, yeah, the freaking Sweatser, whatever the hell his name is, showing up there.
That's the first time he's been public since we chased him out of Harrisburg.
Yep.
People I know plastered his face everywhere, and he didn't come back after that. But it's a focal point. It's the 2010 Tea Party playbook. We're seeing it playing out now. This is the fake hysteria. You know, it was death camps or death commissions back then with like the ACA, and now it's it's critical race theory, which is not even taught in school districts. But like, you know, the Republicans, since it's all culture war issues, Republicans are just fanning these like flames of racism into these school board meetings, and it's just a convergence of like QAnon insurrectionists and far right wing Trumpers that are running for these school boards. I don't think there's anything else that could be like said of that. I mean, and also like thinking about like what's been happening in Bucks County, like it made me reflect and think about what happened with Scott Wagner in 2018 going to his town halls. Like I went, you know, obviously like where I recorded the Young and Naive comments, like that was in Jenkintown. 200 people packed into this VFW hall in the middle of the summer with no AC and a couple big fans. Like that was palpable event. Like, you know, like you could feel the tension in the room. It felt like a powder keg, but also like hearing, being from that area, being from Horsham and Montgomery County, like hearing what those people were saying versus like to themselves and like private conversations, like back and forth, like it's not surprising it's gotten to this point in Bucks and Montgomery Township or counties and stuff like that. So
yeah, well, you know, and again, not only you have I agree, right? And I was surprised. I was sitting there, who popped up and also in my feed this week, right, around these school boards is Simon Campbell. You remember that dude?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, so you got these folks that are kind of coming out of the woodwork again, right, to kind of, like, really just kind of jumping into the fray.
And it's like, it's all this stuff is just manufactured nonsense. You have these media infrastructure things set up in southeastern Pennsylvania by the Commonwealth Foundation, other right-wing entities. Like, we know for a fact that Broad and Liberty is a Commonwealth Foundation-sponsored blog in Philadelphia, very Philadelphia-centric politics. And then, like, they started these, like, fake media outlets. One of those called Delval Journal. You know, like, they're creating their own media echo chambers within, like, these right-wing networks. And then that is then being transferred and spread virally and, virally and also, I think about it, like, as, like, in a lateral sense.
Yep.
On social media and, like, in these reopened Facebook groups. Like, you know, they got a bunch of these groups with maybe like 200-400 people in them, but same overlap, same overlay, and as soon as like something spreads in one of those groups, it goes out everywhere. So
yeah, so I mean, it's like, you know, I said this on the show with Cyril last night, but you know, I was at a meeting kind of like a parents meeting at a kind of our one of our local schools last night. And the principal of the school, the first thing the principal of the school does is kind of like tell everybody, hey, I'm not here to answer questions about DEI or CRT or critical race theory. And we don't teach that stuff here. And if a teacher is found to be teaching CRT, then we take care of it. Right. And I'm like, whoa. Like, first of all, CRT is not a thing that's taught in elementary school, critical race theory. Right. DEI is diversity, equity, and inclusion, right? It's about making sure every kid has access to, like, you know, education. It's like a baseline thing of kind of being able to kind of grapple with our world today and make sure that kids are finding a way into the schools.
You know, and it's also like, you know, they were throwing shit against the walls this year.
And that was
nothing,
it.
I mean, like, and CRT stuck. Like, you're not really seeing anything with trans sports stuff right now. Yeah, there was horrible bills passed, but it seems like we've moved past that point of the culture war, moved past the trans, moved past Mr. Potato Head, and moved past what else am I missing out here of, like, this year's culture like that. But now we're on to, like, CRT, and that's what's stuck against the wall, and that's what's driving people out, because it's just, like, pure, unadulterated, like, racism. It's just, like,
right,
tapping into it, and they're still, like, running it.
Well, and you go back to your, you know, what, you know, the point you were making in the first segment about, you know, is this the GOP or is this the Taliban, right? About the, what they're wanting out of education and so on, is like one of the things that I think is so critical for folks to understand. And I, you know, I've been talking offline with a lot of people that are experiencing this in different school districts across the state, or the Commonwealth, sorry. They're like, you know, look, this is not going away. This is not just about a school board election. Is that this is going to be the way that they're going to keep people charged up for, you know, going into the midterm elections and actually going into 2024.
I mean, like, this is how Mastriano can win in 2022.
Absolutely.
Like, he has his own personal group of supporters who are committed to violence. Right. You know, a lot of people are committed to violence that support him. You know, the insurrection is a great example of that. And then you have, like, him as this, like, demigod or, like, this cult figure that is really just sprung out into the front of all this. So,
yeah, and you're already seeing things like, you know, Tucker Carlson, for example, coming out and saying things like, you know, first that we invaded Afghanistan and now we're going to be invaded. Right, by refugees, right? Already stoking those flames, which fits so nice and neatly into this kind of like anti-CRT, anti-DEI kind of like moves that are going on in the school districts.
Replacement theory.
That's essentially what's going on, right? And so what the thing is that what alarmed me about what that principal said, and let me be clear, I'm not saying that the principal is an ideologue, right? But I'm saying that that comment shows you that there's been pressure and that now teachers are being watched if they're going to be having kind of, you know, talking about slavery, right? Talking about U.S. empire, right? There was a big to-do that happened. I can't remember where it was, but they were, you know, there was a lesson that was around To Kill a Mockingbird, right? I mean, one of the, like, you know, curriculum that's been on people's curriculum for like decades, right? And but it's talking about racism in the South, and that was a big to-do about it, that they're talking about racism, they're talking about this, and therefore they're trying to kind of like replace us. And that, think about what that means about what's going to be happening in our schools if teachers are afraid to talk about reality. And they're only feel like if they want to keep their jobs or what they want to avoid kind of going into the public spotlight, then what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to just show like the great white male tradition. That's so messed up, especially at this moment in history.
And then have pressure campaigns to get teachers fired for even like mentioning, like, which is what the right wing does. They hate cancel culture, but they have no problem getting people fired from their jobs for teaching stuff that's like benign,
right,
and non-controversial,
right? Right. I mean, look, the right wing invented cancel culture, right? The only reason why they're making such a big deal of it now is because, you know, some of those chickens are coming home to roost. That's all, right? I mean, yeah. You know, I mean, they don't like anything like that. You know, steps on
any
their
sense
freedom.
Of accountability.
Yeah, totally. I mean, come on, it's pretty crazy. Well, we're going to be watching that and kind of what we can do. So it's pretty crazy. But hey, I know you got a heart out here. So like, what do you got going on for the weekend? You got any plans?
Nothing really. I'm going to be just enjoying the weather. You know, right now I'm going to be paying attention to there's a vote happening in Berks County. The Berks County detention facility is going to be reopened again for housing asylum seekers. So this is the detention facility that Governor Wolf promised and did not keep his promises to close. Pretty much has washed his hands of this. In 2019 said like this is a federal issue now. Like, but you know, they could be getting on the phone with like Biden administration closing this down. So they're gonna be voting to reopen the Berks detention facility for women who are seeking asylum in the country. So basically, like, you know, we're reopening the jail for black and brown women in there.
There you go.
And I mean, like, it just shows you that, like, I feel like the steps coming from the Wolf administration lately, I mean, obviously, I think he lost his will to fight a lot of things after the first budget, and that's kind of like the consensus here in Harrisburg. But, you know, he's a lame duck right now. He's been a lame duck for a while. And, like, you saw his response. We'll gauge the situation when it comes to accepting refugees from Afghanistan. Instead of coming out with a full-throated support of them.
I am so disappointed with that, with what he's done. It just feels like I don't want to deal with it.
2022, December, January 6th, 2023 is just like, you know, like the first Tuesday in January is here. January 2023 is here in like a year and like 6 months. You're in 5 months. Why do it? Like, you know what I mean? Like that. I feel like that's the attitude.
That's what it seems like to me. I certainly felt that.
17 months left.
Yeah.
And
yeah, when they were kind of destroying the state system of higher education, when he just went like, "Eh, whatever. Just where do I sign that? You know, just whatever, man."
Yeah,
here he goes. So. Well, cool. So I know this weekend I've got this is the second to last weekend before I have to go back to campus. So I'm gonna be doing a lot of work on that. Might get away kind of at least for a day to go up the mountains and stuff like that. We'll check out the thing. The other cool thing that I've been doing right now, I'm gonna give a plug to this. I think I've mentioned this before, is that, you know, my brother got me hooked on the Dungeon Run, which is a YouTube show about, you know, D&D. So if there are any D&D people out there. My kids are actually excited about the fact that I'm watching that, because now it's like I've been like drawing maps and things, right? And the kids are creating D&D characters, so I think that is going to be what's going to get us through this next wave of the pandemic. How's that? So
I will say I put a photo book together, another one that
there you go. I was hoping you were going to plug it, but I didn't want to step on your thunder. You know,
no. So I am waiting for this book to come in. So earlier this year, I lost all my RAW files from 2020, which, you know, has me very pissed. I wiped the fucking hard drive when trying to reformat it to fit my Mac. So that happened. but so I pretty much like put together all of the photos, the JPEGs I have from last year, about like 30, 35 of them, into a photo book. Haircut Lady is in it.
I was going to say, I you know, I've been waiting to say, please tell me that she's
I got
in there.
Two photos of Haircut Lady in there, and just like they take up a page each. So
good to know.
Like a good like 7x7 like square photo.
Nice.
No, so the Haircut Lady is going to be in there. Calling in Harrisburg 2020, looking at Governor Wolf's walkthrough from the Broad Street Market, a couple of things from the Broad Street Market when the pandemic first happened. Got stuff from the reopen movements, a little bit in there, a lot of Black Lives Matter and kind of vote rally photos, and then also some really good photos of like Shara Tara Brittany, and like others from like a couple campaigns out here. But I think it's like mostly like a photojournalism project from 2020.
Nice.
So I'm gonna like look at it and wait and see how it comes out, but I think it's gonna be pretty good. So
cool, man.
I'm looking forward to selling it. I'm getting a website together. I'm looking to have a launch within a few weeks.
I'm going to buy it. Everybody buy it.
So it's going to be fun. Should be nice. I'm looking forward to see how it comes out.
Cool, man. Well, hey, man, I hope that you're going to enjoy the swampy weather out there that's still kind of sticking around. And I'm glad you're able to hop on this morning so we can kind of get one out this week.
So, like, one of the things I've been doing, I check the dew points now every day. Instead of, like, checking humidity, like, I look at the dew points to see, like, how fucking terrible the day is going to be. So they are dipping into, like, the mid-50s, which is pretty comfortable weather. So I'm looking forward to that.
Fingers crossed. That's all I'm saying. All right, man. This is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken. Thank you all for hopping on. Thanks especially to Emily for kind of hitting us up in the chat. We will be back next week for our regular time. I think we're going to start sliding into a more regular schedule again as my semester starts to begin. I want to remind everybody again that on Monday we've got Benjamin Tupper, author of Greetings from Afghanistan, Send More Ammo. He's going to be on the show to talk a little bit about what's happening on Afghanistan and some of his background. And then next Wednesday, we may or may not have the Wednesday show. Cyril's going to look at what his work schedule is. Sean and I will be back next Friday. But in the meantime, I'm going to have either tomorrow morning or Monday. We'll see one of those two. I'll let people know about it. We're going to have a special Out to Coop show, which is going to be something called like Kutztown University. Caring community, which will be a little bit about some things that are happening at the campus, that it gives you a little bit of window into this back to school session in higher education. So tune in for that. So thanks everybody for tuning in. This is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken. Thanks to all who share our stuff. Make sure that you share this with your friends. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube page. Make sure you like the stream. Make sure you hit that notification bell so you know that we go live, and tell everybody about it. Become a patron. Patreon.com/RC Press. See ya!
There are no people.